Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 295, Baby Driver.
Oh, buddy.
The sequel to Boss Baby.
Yeah. Or the sequel to Drive?
Drive?
Boss
oh,
Drive?
Yeah. It was actually, in retrospect, it was...
Baby Boss Driver.
It was retconned to be Fetus Drive.
See, this is why, you know... Dan couldn't make it to this one.
Yes.
And this is what happens.
Premature ejaculate drive.
A self-shake.
We've already talked about that.
Don't tell him I touched his maracas.
For the love of Pete.
Yes.
That's new since the last time I was here.
Yeah, so this, the maraca.
It's nice. It keeps you on, right?
The maraca is our Foley work. This is the audio equivalent of Dan rolling his eyes when we cross a line.
Sure.
When we say something that's just a bridge too far.
Well, daddy's gone. Let's play, boys.
Yes. That maraca it's gone.
Goodbye.
So,
adios, muchacho.
Yeah, so real quick, let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
I am Brian, and I'm excited to pretend that I like this movie.
What?
This is Joe.
And this is Tom. You don't have to pretend. I don't like things other people like all the time.
Like Joe?
Likes Joe.
Yeah.
People like Joe?
No.
No.
Not very.
His wife, presumably.
Yeah. No.
Well, I don't know. Have you seen some of the posts? So
I have seen the rope burns.
Yeah.
On
well,
me?
Well, that's what they're into. So real quick before we dive in, shameless plugs, don't forget we're available on iTunes where you can go rate, review, subscribe. We greatly appreciate it. It helps us tremendously. If you want to join the League of Show Sharers, you can do that at facebook.com/realspoilers. People who were kind enough to join the league this week: Brent Smith, Nick Scott, Chris Sanders, Tammy Sherman Powers, Lane Levanway, Tom Comiskey, Travis Tewitt, Richard Lawson. Yes, you showed up.
Yeah, thank you very much.
He did a screen grab and was like, I don't know about my privacy settings, but I did share. And I saw that. But you also did show up. John Friedman, a new show share.
Oh, actually.
You did not show up. So
how'd you see that?
Well, because he shared within the League of Show Shares, but he did not show up in the when I get a list of who shared the episodes.
Yeah.
So his privacy settings maybe. So just friend me on Facebook and then you'll always show up.
We'll take care of that.
So and he seems to be a fan. He's posted a couple times and said some nice things.
Yeah,
so thank you.
Stuff.
Thank you, John. Timmy Tuzoons, Brian Kelly, Zach Bach, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, Jason Herndon, Julian Jordan and Griffin Fox Smith. And we're recording these early this week. So you guys didn't have as much time to share them as normal. So by the time you hear this, if you've shared your episode and we didn't read your name, that's why, because we're recording this much earlier than normal because I'm going out of town. Kevin's getting married, but who cares about that? I'm going out of town. That's the important thing. So
are these week to week shares? Is this like each episode?
Yeah.
That's really impressive. That's
thank
great.
You.
That's
thank
really, really
you.
Good.
Have you ever shared one?
Yes, every time that
every
I'm
time
on.
He's on. Every time he's on.
I think there's like intermittently, like if like episodes that I enjoy.
So anyway, there's all the house cleaning. We will now turn our eyes to Baby Driver.
Yeah, so this is I'm a big fan of Edgar Wright. I think Edgar Wright is a fantastic filmmaker. He's super stylized. He's got his own look. I think this is the first one he has done without Simon Pegg writing. Like I think Simon Pegg had a writing credit somehow on Scott Pilgrim.
Oh, did he?
I could be wrong about that. But this is the
I think you are wrong about that.
Well, that wouldn't be the first.
It would not.
I think it was just, I think O'Malley had, like, he was pretty consistently, like, Edgar was able to do his own thing, but then, like, consistently touching base with
talking with Brian Lee O'Malley. That is, I mean, this is, I feel like, the next step for him.
And even though it's really stylized and still is going to be fans, and
this is an Edgar Wright movie
with like kind of the geek world.
Yeah,
it's also not a geek movie.
No,
even though it works on that level,
right?
Is
this his first non-geek movie? Like, do you count Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz as geek movies?
Absolutely,
yeah. Okay. Genre geek movies, certainly.
Yeah.
And okay. I think it's interesting too because it's the first time. Like, it's not necessarily his first original property, but it's the first time after Shaun of the Dead became like this big cult sensation, and then building off of that for Hot Fuzz and At World's End, and then Scott Pilgrim was an adaptation. It's really kind of his first time out of the gate where it's separate from all of that.
Yeah, there's no connections whatsoever to anything. I mean, I think there's. The car chases, I think, look like Hot Fuzz and they look like Shaun of the Dead. I'm almost positive there's a Pierce Brosnan cameo.
Right.
I mean,
he's
known. I kept
thinking that Nick Frost was the chef at the diner, but I don't think he
is. Oh, no, I don't think so.
I don't think
that
would have
been really funny.
It looked like they have similar builds or similar looks or whatever.
Just two fat guys.
But I don't think it is.
No.
I don't think it is the same
guy. I think because he got so much screen time, like, I feel like I would have noticed if it was him.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. Like, I needed a pretty convincing, like, southern accent or southern, not really maybe an accent, but just an American.
Well, and I will say that about
accent.
Deborah, is it Lily James? Is that who that is?
I have no idea.
The girlfriend.
Yeah,
the
right.
The girl
right.
was Cinderella.
Oh, she was. I'm not familiar with her from anything other than
Downton
just this
Abbey,
movie.
Apparently, I'm right there with.
Nope,
you. That's a chick show.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not necessarily that, but it's just like.
No, I stand by that.
Not watched any of that. Didn't watch
Cinderella. Was surprisingly good.
Better than Beauty and the Beast.
I didn't see Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I don't know. I mean, I like Cinderella for a dude enjoying Cinderella.
Sure.
Like, I don't.
Was Gus there?
No, he was not.
The mouse.
Oh, I was like, my dad?
Did you go see it with your dad?
Yes.
That's a nice Father's Day treat.
We're going to go see Cinderella. All right, great. But he was in it. Like, the mice were in it.
Oh, okay.
All the characters were there. They weren't, like, the animated versions, but they were there.
Right.
But she was, like, she's always had an accent. Like, she's British. So it's Lily James, right, Tom? That's this girl's name?
I have no idea.
She was Cinderella.
Oh, I didn't realize that was Cinderella.
Yes.
Oh, look at that.
Christ almighty. She was also in that really bad Zombies and... What was the... That... Oh... Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies.
Oh, gosh. That was boring.
That was awful.
So
but she
boring.
Does a... She has a British accent, but she does a very convincing...
So the southern
accent.
She had more of a southern thing going.
For sure.
Yeah.
So I went into this really excited because the trailers were super cool, and we're right off the bat, we don't pull any punches. Like, we're introduced to the guy who was almost Han Solo. Like, apparently he was a nut hair away from being Han Solo.
Ansel or whatever his name is.
Yeah, the guy who's in this was like,
I was thinking John Bernthal, and I'm like, back then?
That I know. I was saying, like, John Bernthal was almost.
That's the Punisher. Dolph Lundgren?
But yeah, this guy. Well, maybe he should have been if this.
If the other guy
needs acting lessons.
I don't know how much I believe that.
I don't know that it's he needs acting lessons. I think it was a way to give him direction because they felt like the directors weren't.
Ah, okay.
You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
I think that they weren't super worried about, like, they were okay if it was tongue in cheek or not on the nose.
Okay.
And Disney was like, uh-uh. And
are you a big fan of this guy?
He was so good.
In that Coen Brothers movie?
Hail Caesar? Yeah, he was great.
I walked out of Hail Caesar, and I mean, if you go back and listen to my review of that movie on the radio, I was like, this dude's a star.
Yeah,
I'm
seriously.
Like,
he's
this
so
dude,
good.
Like, and they should have retooled that movie and made it all about him.
Yeah.
Because that movie, when he's on screen, is amazing.
Yeah.
When he's not on screen, except for the dance scene with Channing Tatum, it's one of those movies that mistakes, I think, chaos for comedy.
Sure.
And it never really quite clicks for me, but
Tilda Swinton plays sisters in that movie, doesn't she?
She
was like the sister.
She was the twin
reporters.
The twin gossip columnist.
I just
watched
Okja.
How was that?
She played sisters in that movie.
Was she ancient sisters?
No, she was
She was the H
regular.
One
yeah, Doctor good Strange. Good one, Jake.
All
good
right. One. I'll just leave myself out.
Back to Baby Driver.
So this kid. Does this start with that bank heist? That opening, like they don't. They're going right from the get, right, with that car chase.
Yeah, they come right out of the gate. So did you like it?
I did like it. I liked it a lot.
You did not like it, Brian, right?
Like, there were moments. But overall, I was just kind of like, eh.
I think I'm closer to you than Joe. Like, okay. I didn't hate it.
Right.
I don't think it's a bad movie at all.
Right. I think it could have been a little bit shorter.
It could have been much, much shorter. I mean, it's almost 2 hours of little music video sequences, more
or
less.
Yeah, I thought that...
Lip sync sequences.
Yeah. I just felt like I was going to love it more than I did. Like, I just thought it was gonna, like, it really felt to me like it wanted to be early Quentin Tarantino.
I think that's exactly what it felt like.
And I just remember, man, Pulp Fiction and Reservoir Dogs, seeing those movies for the first time in the theaters, just the jolt of adrenaline, no pun intended, that those movies were. Like, and I just never quite got there with this. Like, and again, like, you know, there's like damning with faint praise. This is almost like cursing with faint, whatever the opposite of praise is. But but I just felt like, man, this movie was so like,
I think the way you're talking about it is the way I felt about Nice Guys the first time I saw it.
Yeah, and I felt the same way about Nice Guys. Yeah,
really. I loved, and I'm going back and rewatched it.
Sure, this is like when an A student turns in B work, and you're like, is it good? Yeah, but
you can do better.
And it was
compared to the rest of the class,
right? Yes,
compared to you.
Not so much.
I need more.
And I felt like it was close to being great. I don't know what it didn't do for me.
Yeah.
I can't put my finger on it yet. But like, I thought, like, I just was like, the whole movie, I'm like, this is so close to just being amazing.
Yep.
And it just doesn't quite get there. And then it makes me like it less than it deserves to not be liked, if that makes sense.
Certainly.
So I was on the way out. I was kind of in both of your boats until...
Get the hell out of my boat.
I'm sorry. One boat, but yeah, like paddling in different directions.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. Until we get to the end. Like, when we get to that, there's a certain scene that we'll talk about where I was like, oh, I'm in. Like, this, that totally makes up for how I was feeling before. I think that this is...
And I felt, and I know some people will find this blasphemous, but I felt like the car chases should have been a little cooler.
I don't know. I thought they were pretty cool.
I will totally agree with
and
that.
And I, like, they were...
One thing I kept going back to is Born Identity, which is probably unfair, just
Italian
because of how
job.
Those...
Yeah.
Were, yeah, just
I
like,
almost felt like...
Any great car chase scene, and I feel like this doesn't rank up there.
And I felt like the car chase scenes should have been as stylized as the movie was. And I don't feel like they were. Like, they were cool.
Yeah.
Like, again, like, I'm not saying that it wasn't cool or it wasn't good, but like, I felt, I don't know, like, I felt like it should have been, like, I thought they were gonna Hudson Hawk it, and I mean that in a good way. That
coming to Hulu in July.
Is it?
Yeah.
What is
Hudson Hawk?
Oh, I was like, they're making a Hudson Hawk TV show.
How, like, they would time their their bank heist to the music.
They do kind of do that.
And I thought it was good. Yeah, I mean, they kind of do, but it never really kind of fully.
It's really just him sitting there.
Yeah.
I always thought that it would be like, I'll start the song, I'll go over here, drive over here to do something, and then drive back, and the song tells me I need to be back by this time.
Right.
But that never happened. Like, nothing like that ever happened.
It's the kid, to me.
I can see that.
I found him super boring.
I can see that.
Like, see, I liked him.
I did. I
thought he was okay.
I did not like him.
Yeah.
But, like, if this had been anybody else...
I like anybody else.
They're very good.
Like, really good performance in that one movie.
Yeah.
With the guy.
Yes.
With the hair?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Of course. I liked his earlier work better.
Oh, sure.
Like, lately.
Yeah. Earlier work better was a really good film.
Right. But lately, the one I just saw that I didn't care for, have you seen...
So I have a rule about...
Have you seen
the one I just saw that I didn't care for was tedious.
See, the one that really kind of put me off of him was Phoning It In.
Oh.
That's
the one that turned me off.
I feel
was the one
really
that
really misunderstood.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the one that turned me off, I agree, is the one that
is the one that turned me off. Yeah, that's
the
way that works.
The two things that really kind of stood out to me that I've learned kind of after the fact is that this is something that he had been sitting on. There is a short film that he did a few years ago before he was Edgar Wright that is basically the opening scene.
He was Edgar Wrong?
Sitting, well, after this movie. He's sitting in the car and he's playing with the wipers and avoiding the police or whatever. So, but it's something that he's had sort of in his mind or in development for 15-ish years, yeah. I think.
Okay.
But then I also heard that the script or the or like his story, his idea for the story is built around the songs,
which right.
that makes I felt sense. Like those yeah. like Christopher Nolan has had Dunkirk in the hopper for 20 plus whatever years. That's a movie that he's that been right? wanting to make. I think like Inception, it was something that he's been wanting to do, but just has not been able. He now has the clout to be able to pull it off. And similar to that is Baby Driver, where it's something he's wanted to do, but you know, I guess he finally found enough songs that were cool and hip enough to
that they could build out the use. Soundtrack.
Yeah, a lot of great music. The music is phenomenal.
I don't think any of the songs were probably expensive.
None of them
are huge hits.
I mean, it's all like 50s, 60s, and then you know, a few like sprinkled out throughout the rest of the time.
So this one starts. We've got John Hamm and John Bernthal, and they are robbing a bank. And they kind of jump in the car, and
Gia Rodriguez is in
there
too.
Who, do I know?
Is that her name?
Should I know who that is?
I don't know.
The other girl, the girl who's in this movie,
of the two girls.
So they,
I guess three, like Sky Faria.
Oh yeah, I guess that's
I don't
true.
Know how to pronounce her name.
That was a good try though. You gave it. A college try.
Yep.
And I liked the scene where he's, you know, I thought it was pretty cool where he's dodging the cops and he's doing what he has to do. It goes a little south, but he's a good enough driver that it doesn't matter.
Right.
He can get them out of any
situation.
I think situation.
The first car chase was the best.
I think you're right.
That's a problem in a movie like
is
this.
Is that the one where he finds two other similar red
yes.
cars
yeah.
And he switches? The, yeah. That's, yeah, that was pretty cute.
And he does like a spin in between like three trucks.
Yeah.
He drifts in between
very
three
nice
trucks.
Very nice drifting.
Yeah, very nice drifting. Gets back and... Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you know, and I feel bad like not loving this movie because I hate the Fast and Furious movies so much. I find them so boring and monotonous, and I always complain that I'm like, remember when car chase movies were fun?
Yeah.
And, you know, Smokey and the Bandit and stuff like that, right? Like, that movie's a blast, yeah. you know? And so this movie is doing that in a lot of ways, and it's doing it pretty good, and I enjoyed way more than a Fast and Furious movie, and so like that's kind of why I feel so bad, like not being able, like this movie kicked ass,
right?
And it just didn't quite kick my ass,
didn't get there,
didn't, yeah.
It gave you like a gentle pat,
yeah, like yeah. a little love tap,
well, more of like a nudge, like Tom, the movie's still on,
right?
It's a story of Tom's life,
a little nudge in the fudge.
This is why Dan's out of here.
Yes.
So he gets back and his job, you know, he drives, he drops them off at the last spot, and then he goes and gets the coffee and comes back and they divvy up the money.
Yeah.
Kevin Spacey.
That scene was fun.
Where he's them in the
was it Harlem Shuffle where
he's rocking
like the trumpet
street.
Flare, and then everyone's like, all right, House of Pain's gonna play, and then it's Harlem Shuffle, and everyone's like, what is this song?
Yeah.
But as he's walking around, like the lyrics are, you know, in signposts
right.
and on,
he's,
on
know,
the wall
doing the trumpet with the guy on the wall.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was almost more like a Levi's commercial or an iPod commercial or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, where it wasn't really, it didn't, like, I just wasn't.
Because they didn't keep doing
in
it.
In the movie. Yeah.
They didn't keep
that,
doing
that,
it.
There was a
lot of
like, drop
threads yeah. throughout the movie.
And there were a few
and
times.
And I thought that the car chases would end up doing things like that.
Right.
And they never did.
Yeah.
Right. And I guess, like, that's where it's like he kind of sets a bar and then he doesn't go over it or even. Maintain it,
yeah,
and,
yeah,
or even attempt to maintain it,
right.
And so and that's why, like, again, I enjoyed watching the film. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not a bad movie.
I think I want to see it again.
And I wasn't bored or anything. I just it was so close to being amazing.
Right. There were a few sequences where like the editing was really sharp and like really like good cuts and like sequence cuts and timed cuts.
That's kind of him.
That nature.
That's him though.
That's
like,
him.
Yeah.
But there was only like one scene where that actually happened.
Right. Well, it's like the scene that I. For as far as his cutting and his editing, I think of Shaun of the Dead when Sean's getting ready in the morning, and well, he wakes up and he walks downstairs and he starts playing video games with Ed, and he's like, oh, you got work, and he gets upstairs and it's a flushing of the toilet, it's him brushing his teeth, it's him snapping on his, like, that was like those quick cuts, and that became kind of synonymous with him, and I feel like he took that to another level with this one where it was kind of polished in a Hollywood veneer rather than this is the most that looks like a Hollywood movie rather than a British
sure.
movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like those World's End, Scott Pilgrim even has it a little bit. And then Shaun of
the Cornetto stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. They all kind of have that.
Well,
look.
And Scott Pilgrim is so hyper stylized.
That is
that it doesn't look like anything.
That yeah,
yeah
you
totally.
Know what I mean? Like,
no,
you really,
I agree.
You really
agree.
Can't say,
yeah.
well,
that's
it looks
look.
Like this.
Right.
It doesn't look like
right,
anything.
No, it looks like nothing. So he goes in and he
And that's a compliment, by the
yeah,
way.
No, yeah. No, Scott Pilgrim is
He got ripped off that movie wasn't a bigger hit.
He got truly screwed.
I don't understand. That's one of those movies where when it's not a hit, you just want to shake America and be like, what the hell do you want out of a movie?
Oh, yeah. Transformers. That's what you want. Jerk offs.
Which is, again, why I feel bad not embracing this movie when it's the antidote to Fast and Furious.
Original,
The
original good stuff.
Original concept. And, and it's a fun film. I mean, the songs are fun. It's, you know, again, like, I more than anything, I feel like I just go back to, like, great soundtrack, came out of the movie, kind of like, okay.
I want to go listen to one of those songs.
Yeah.
This is we get a scene with Bernthal, John Hamm, and John Hamm's wife, where Bernthal is just kind of...
Darling.
Monica.
Buddy.
And John
Bernthal.
Frank Castle. Did you see The Accountant's getting a sequel?
Yeah.
Speaking of
what?
John Bernthal.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it going to be the two of them together in an adventure?
That has to be.
Is it going
to
be like, what it should be is like Weekend at Bernie's, but with the characters from The Accountant. that's what they should do.
Who do they carry around?
I don't know. It doesn't matter. Do something so absurd that people want to pay attention.
So Bernthal's kind of giving him the guff.
Through the film, it's like, I never use the same team twice. And of course, the one time that he uses the same team.
So they use two versions of the team.
Yeah,
like it's a combination of two teams.
Well, I took it as that he'll use the same people. He just uses different combinations.
So I just thought he didn't use the same people.
No, I that's not. I took it as
I guess in
because
Atlanta,
he kept using Baby, but he would change the components around
him,
so that made it a different team.
I got you. That makes sense.
Oh yeah, because John Hamm and Buddy and Darling, they kind of knew.
Right, they were already aware of him.
Right.
Yeah, they weren't as put off because they knew what they were in. Knew that he could do what Kevin Spacey said he would.
Right.
Yeah.
So they.
It's weird that, like, there's enough crime, this high level of crime that can take place in Atlanta with these, like, so many career criminals who are available to pull off these jobs.
Right.
And, like, Atlanta is, like, a major metropolitan area.
Atlanta.
But it doesn't really seem like it's possible to continuously do that.
And not get caught.
And they meet in the same. Space.
Yeah, they have their own little hideout.
That like rundown office building.
Right.
Well, that city has like a crime incubator for startup criminal organizations.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Because
they
keep saying that St. Louis is the new
Kevin Spacey is the Mark Cuban, of that Shark Tank scenario.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
That's pretty good. Wow. That's.
So he's basically trying out all of these different criminals to figure out
which is the best combination, and then he'll take them to a bigger city,
and then he'll try to pull that banknote job or the money order job.
Yes,
which seems like that seems like the most ridiculous. That was the one where I was like, money orders?
And then
everybody's like, yeah, I got a guy.
They're same as cash, I guess.
I guess that's true. They are.
You know, you would think that they're probably not as traceable, but I don't know. I would think that they would be traceable. I think they would
They're all serial lines. I don't know.
They got serial numbers on them, and they would just be like, okay, void those.
But it's from the post office, so like nobody cares.
Well, and I used to work at a grocery store. If somebody handed you a money order, even if they had voided that serial number, you don't run it through anything.
Hmm. Are those is a money order the same as traveler's checks?
I don't think so.
A money order.
Like, can you get cash back from a money order?
Money orders, you make money orders out to people.
Yeah.
And so.
But if you're at the store and your bill is $90,
yeah.
And somebody a $95 money order.
I guess we sold money orders. We didn't actually redeem money orders now that I think about it. So, I don't know.
All right.
I'm already bored with this.
I was like I remember when eBay was in its infancy and you had to ship
I will check your money order.
Yeah. Check or money order.
Yeah, and then your item would show up.
Yeah.
Spent too much money on wrestling tapes that were out of print on eBay.
I'm still waiting on a poster that I ordered in like 99 or 2000.
I was like, where's my B? Somebody owes me a Pitch Black poster.
It says Cowboy Bebop.
I was close.
The movie.
Yeah. So
got the time frame right though.
Yeah. That's pretty good. We'll poster it. Never mind.
So where were we in this movie?
Yeah, so
I believe he was driving.
Yeah, I think that's about right.
Yeah.
So
we should probably
the money.
So I guess this is where he finds out where they tell us what his deal is, right?
Right, right. So he was in a car accident.
They
kind of
tease it out, like little flashbacks. And
yeah, but he was in a car accident.
Kevin Spacey, you know, has him over a barrel and needs the money. And
he was in a car accident when he was a kid.
Right.
Watched his parents die.
Which has affected his hearing.
So he's got tinnitus.
So he's got this buzzing in his ear.
Yeah.
So he's always got his ear buzzing.
You know who else had tinnitus?
No.
Tony Randall.
Really?
There's a little piece of trivia that's in my head. I don't know why.
Is that why he was sloppy, or was it the other guy?
No, he was very persnickety.
I guess I can see that too.
Yeah.
So that's why he has the earbuds in, is listening to music all the time.
Yeah, to drown out.
Tony Randall.
Yeah.
So that's a thread they completely drop. He does it occasionally, but I was thinking that every time he'd take the earbuds out, like, you would hear.
Well, it wasn't very often he took them both out.
Right. There was always at least one in.
Oh,
I
see.
But I agree. Like, there were a few times where both were out. Did they supplement some sort of buzzing or something?
They did towards they the end, like at the end, like when he's in a fight and he shoots
a gun by both of his ears.
Yeah, and he pulls the earbuds out. And like you hear the ringing. Yeah.
Right. So he
maybe
gives
you have tinnitus.
Ooh.
Oh no.
And so you didn't notice when they added the ringing because you're so used to it. Yeah.
Hmm. Oh no. What you thought was your son crying was just
tinnitus.
Yeah, tinnitus. Yeah.
What I thought was tinnitus was actually my son crying.
Well, makes him stronger. Builds character.
Right, exactly. Right.
Cry it out, pussy.
Be a man.
I'm two.
The share is cut up four ways or five ways every time, same split. They give baby his cut and he goes down with Kevin Spacey and Kevin Spacey's fork it over. So he gives him his cut except for like a grand.
Yeah.
And he gives him a grand for each. Like, you're almost there. He's like, one more job and you're square. And then he's like, all right, one more job and I'm square. So he goes home and we see that he lives with this the deaf guy.
Yeah.
And I like his foster dad, right? Yeah. I like that their interactions where he's signing to him and everybody, you know, the guy can't hear the music, but he'll put his hand on the speaker.
I love the idea that he could interact and communicate with his father figure completely without ever having to take the earbuds out and stop listening to music.
Correct.
Because he would sign.
Right. Right.
You know? But this is another scene where there's something kind of hyper stylized as he's making the sandwich.
Right.
And he's flipping the plate and he's kind of cocktailing up the joint.
Right.
And then
Elizabeth Shue walked in.
Right. Yeah.
Totally. That's when it got hot.
Yeah. With hippie shake was on the earbuds. Yeah. It was a whole thing. And then it's kind of just like he kind of never did something like that again.
Yeah. Right. Like, they kind of,
it's very sandwich specific.
He's very good at making sandwiches.
Yes.
With peanut butter that goes all the way to the edge.
It's a little strange to me that here's a movie where there's an elderly disabled black person interacting with seemingly charming white hipster, as in Deadpool, where Deadpool lives with that elderly.
Yeah,
was she blind? I think
she was blind.
Blind. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I forgot about that.
I don't know. I mean, it's a great nothing more than just like
touches her face with his baby.
Yeah, hand. Right.
So yeah, so he. I just thought it was
getting dangerously close to the magical Negro stereotype.
Sure, right.
Yeah. Walked that line.
Yeah,
I guess it's maybe line, it's transformed from magical Negro to an elderly.
It's like they're
mentorish.
And one, it's kind of like they're using the character to show how good natured he
is.
Yeah, they do. I mean, they do a lot
of
that.
Which they do. Yeah,
they show that he's got. He doesn't want to hurt anybody. He just wants to drive. He has to drive, basically. So yeah, he's got a good relationship with him. And then he goes to this. He's been going to this diner forever. And this is where we see. I'm almost positive. I'm gonna look that up.
She was sure. What was
Lily
mom,
James?
His mom worked there, right?
Right.
That's
right,
what
right,
we
right.
learn at one at some point that his mom worked there, so he kind of goes there to feel connected or whatever.
Right. And then she walks in and she's singing.
But how long has she been working there? Like,
I feel like
she's presumably been.
I felt like she must be new.
Oh, that's right. Because
she didn't have a name tag yet. Her name tag said Jonathan.
And he was just like Jonathan. He's like, yeah, that's my name.
Yeah,
but it's really Deborah. So she's like singing and he records people talking, which, I mean, when you're working for a mob boss,
that's
awesome.
Seems plausible.
Brilliant.
Right.
Yeah. Way to think that one through, baby.
Kind of fun. I mean, that was a fun thing.
Liked what he was doing
and,
with the tape.
Looking
like
at his little machines and everything. Yeah. I feel like not necessarily that there was more potential to see, him working on his music or whatever, but it was just like there wasn't. That was a point where I was definitely interested in what was happening.
Yeah.
But then when he is driving again later on, it's just okay. He's just
we're getting
close ups of him sitting in the car, and then we're doing cutaways to where we can't even tell who's driving the car and
not him.
Not
yeah.
I guarantee you. So. Yeah, so he meets her and immediately falls in love with her. and starts to, they aren't boyfriend girlfriend. Like, it's in that, it's that, it's that period before you become boyfriend girlfriend where you're definitely both into each other, but you're not, you haven't made that next, because they never, like, they kiss like once.
Yeah.
And it's at the very end, right?
I don't remember, but they're obviously like,
they're into each other. Yeah. Like, they're both into each other. The scenes where he's not driving remind me a lot of Drive. The interactions with Ryan Gosling and
Carey Mulligan
are very reminiscent. This movie is very reminiscent of those
sure
interactions. I think the soundtrack for Drive is way better.
Didn't carry the same intensity. Yeah,
it did not. That's true. It was definitely lighter in tone, but it felt like that's the tone they were going for.
She was a little too much oh shucks.
Carey Mulligan or
no,
Lily James.
Yeah,
I could see that. So he kind of tells her, he's like, ah, I drive, and she's just like, oh, you're like a chauffeur. He's like, sure.
Yeah,
that works.
And he was like, no, not really.
kinda, I guess. And then, so he says one more, he keeps saying, he's like, one more job, which always works out for everybody.
Yeah, it's always just right, one job right, and then they're done.
Like, Lord, please don't be a detective 2 weeks away from retirement, because I guarantee you're not going to make it. So finally, you know, he's like, when they call, I answer. They call, I drive. So we get, he calls, Kevin Spacey calls and says, we've got another job, and it's Flea. And
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Who I like, they keep referencing the nose. I'm like, well, that's coming off.
That's what I thought too. Oh, like when we first saw him too, I thought he had like a prosthetic. Nose? Did he?
I thought
it was just like it ended up just being a Band-Aid on his nose.
Oh, I thought it was like a prosthetic nose. Yeah, that was gonna come off.
I thought it was too.
Because I kept looking at, I'm like, what is going on? What is going on?
I just thought he had done that much coke. Yeah,
now, is it true that it's the same character
from Back to the Future 2?
Back to the Future? Or was he in Point Break?
Oh, I don't know. So his name was Needles in Back to the Future.
Right.
I don't know what his
Needle,
name was.
Needle Nose?
No.
Oh.
I think he was,
and he'd probably be about the same age now.
Of that character?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah, because that's true. Back to the Future 2 was 2015.
That's right. Is he in the third? No.
He's in one and two.
He is in the third one, because at the end, when Marty comes back.
Oh, you're right.
They're going to race. And Marty's like, you think I was going to race that guy? Yeah.
I think he would have hit that Rolls Royce. But he doesn't.
And then he's not in one.
I don't think he's
in two
in
and three.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, you're right.
Because, he's the one where, this has always been a pet peeve of mine with the Back to the Future series.
But they're not better.
Well, especially the second.
There's not a fourth one?
Yeah, it's that the whole, like,
there was a fourth one.
Don't ever call me chicken was just thrown into the second one. Like, I was just like, how did that never, that's a
they
thing?
They don't call him chicken in the
nope.
In the first one,
nope.
Don't they?
Nope.
That's why.
Why does he fight Biff?
Because Biff's a dick.
Yeah, but.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because Biff's picking on him. He's not trying to fight Biff. He's trying to get away from Biff. It's in the second one.
That chicken becomes the thing.
Where he's like, nobody calls me chicken.
Right.
And like, because they get in the car race and they're like, if you had had that car race, everything.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true. So Jason Scott Lee, who plays one of Griff's buddies, is the one who's just, what are you, chicken? And he hits the little button on his like walkie-talkie suit where it's making the chicken noise. That's true. I feel like he does call him chicken in the first one.
I'm almost positive that does not happen.
I mean, if you're giving me a reason to revisit Back to the Future 1,
sure.
Challenge accepted.
I liked 2.
I love them all.
I thought 3 was...
3 is where my childhood died.
Yeah. Get out.
Because when they destroyed the DeLorean.
Oh, that's true.
I was like, what have you done?
Yeah, but then they had the
time travel. No. They go back. Nothing's ever really destroyed in a time travel
that's
movie.
That's true. But when you're like...
I just didn't like 10 years old.
2 got dark. 2 did get dark,
which I loved.
Yeah.
And then 3 like kind of completely ignores how dark 2 got.
Yeah.
Sure.
And is almost like a Saturday morning cartoon.
Guess what? That comes up later.
It becomes a Saturday morning cartoon.
But they were filmed back to back. So it's not like they made 2 and then thought, well, we went too dark. We have to we're going to correct. That was a choice they made in a vacuum.
Isn't it weird how Marty becomes his own like great great grandpa?
He doesn't have sex with anybody.
But instead of it being Leia Thompson and Crispin Glover,
right.
Since Crispin Glover went off the deep end and they used the fake Shemp in 2,
right.
They went to Marty, Michael J. Fox, as,
oh, I see what you're saying.
As his ancestor.
Yeah. Sure, oh, sure, gotcha. Sure. Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where they do end up hooking up Leia Thompson and
Marty McFly.
And Marty McFly.
Seamus McFly.
Yeah. Whatever. Right. Well, Michael J. Fox and Leia Thompson.
I'm sure that was a couple. By the time Michael J. Fox, he's like, look, this is going to be in my contract that I need to make out with Leia Thompson. So if you just make that happen, that'd be great. I don't blame him.
Weird.
Yeah.
So Baby Driver.
Baby Driver.
Baby Driver.
So we see the new crew. So it's Flea, stereotypical Asian guy, and then Jamie Foxx, who I thought we were going to get the Jamie Foxx character from Horrible Bosses.
Yeah.
And we don't.
Yeah.
Like, he is a straight up psychopath
yeah.
in this movie. And it's great. He's awesome. He destroys yeah. that role. I did at one point, I was like, oh, he's going to be kind of jokey. And he's not.
He's never really. Yeah.
No.
He doesn't relent. I mean,
like, when you first see him in Horrible Bosses, you think he's this badass. And then you realize
he's an idiot.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a bag of dumb.
And here he's a badass and insane.
Yes. So the deal, they lay out the plan. He is, Jamie Foxx is super against Baby from the get. He's just like, this kid's not listening. He takes his ear, you know, Kevin Spacey runs down the whole plan. You never hear it.
Right.
And then Baby takes his earbud out and
it's
he
like,
runs
boom, boom,
down.
Boom.
Right.
Yeah.
So I do like the scene where he's just like, all right, costumes are going to be the Michael Myers mask and this.
Yeah.
So they get in the car. Funny. And the guy's handing out masks, and he's like, what is this? And he was like, it's the Mike Myers mask. And he was just like, "The what?
He has
no.
Austin Power
yeah,
masks.
From Halloween. Yeah. He's like, this is Halloween.
These are Halloween masks. He's like, no, the killer. He's like, oh, you mean Jason? And they're just like, whatever. So this is the first time. I feel like Baby has never seen somebody die. All the robberies have kind of been
pretty clean, busted up.
Yeah. But like,
or
nobody,
he knows people have died. But
I feel like the rule is nobody dies. I don't think that those people have killed anybody.
Yeah.
And then Jamie Foxx is crazy and kills a guy.
Yeah.
So they take off and Baby gets him out of there and they divvy up the money. And then we're still getting the relationship between Baby and Deborah. And then the relationship, so they say at the end of this job, that's it. It's like, you're square. Here's your $1,000. We'll see you. And he doesn't give him another burner. You're kind of led to believe that that's it. We're square. You've made, you know, they tell you that. As Baby's growing up, he kind of gets, he just likes stealing cars, and he boosted the wrong car, won a car that belonged to Kevin Spacey. He lost a bunch of merchandise, and he's been paying Kevin Spacey back ever since by doing these jobs.
It was like washing dishes.
Basically, yeah. So he kind of, like, he talks to Deborah, and she's just kind of like, my dream is to just drive down the coast, listening to music with nothing, you know, nothing planned. So they decide that's what they're going to do. He's making all this money. He takes her out on a really nice date. And then as they're about ready to pay the bill, the waiter's just kind of like, don't worry about it. It's paid for. You're good. And Baby's just like, what? Who? Where? And they turn around and there's Kevin Spacey. And now you realize, oh.
Yeah, he's not.
You're not done.
Yeah.
You're square, but you're not done.
Right.
So they have, and you know, it's funny. I'm a huge fan of Kevin Spacey. I love Kevin Spacey. I think he's a fantastic actor that doesn't get, A, the credit for his comedic chops.
Yeah.
I think he's very funny.
Mm-hmm.
And B, it's tough because he's been on House of Cards for so long that he hasn't been in a lot of movies.
Right.
But he's so good in this. His Lex Luthor should have worked. Like, he's a really good choice for a Lex Luthor.
Yeah, he was.
Just in the wrong movie. Could you imagine him in Man of Steel or Batman versus Superman as Lex Luthor? just doing those weird lines where he's like the Jolly Rancher line.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that would have been just creepy and more creepy.
Yeah.
But, well, just make him Lex instead of Alexander, because that's who.
Oh, he could be the dad.
Jesse Eisenberg is.
He's not. Yeah.
Yeah. Make him the original
anything
Lex.
To get Jesse Eisenberg out of those movies.
No, Jesse Eisenberg stays. He's the son.
No, he could stay in jail and he'll never leave jail. And then Lex will come back and the real Lex.
Why was he in jail in the first place?
Because
he kidnapped.
Let's not go down this road.
Because he had to be there so Batman could throw the heat batarang at him or whatever.
Punch the brand into the wall.
Yeah. That's how you know he's the good Batman now, because he didn't brand whatever.
Every time he would brand a bad guy, he was like, hey, is your name Marlon Brand?
Oh.
And then rappel at him.
Get out.
Oh, dear.
Thanks. It was nice to be here, guys. Thank you.
Yeah, so he
Jonathan Brand is.
Yeah, see, that's. I'll give you that one. That kid's dead, though.
He is dead.
Yeah.
See, that would be perfect, though, because since it's branding, he'd be like, Brandis.
No. This is the things you need to keep just between you and me. Like, don't put those out in public.
So Kevin Spacey's great. He's a 2-time Academy Award winning actor.
Correct. So you
what's
think
the second one?
He won. Didn't he win for Usual Suspects? And he won for.
Did he win for that?
I think so.
For American Beauty.
I knew he won for American Beauty. I didn't remember.
I'm pretty sure. Supporting actor.
Sure supporting.
Okay.
Yeah. So he kind of does a weird
they
character
cut to Chaz
turn.
Chaz Palmieri or whatever that guy's name is when he wins. And he's like, it was him the whole time. Who knew?
Like, Chaz, you were on set. What are you talking about?
I didn't read the script.
I only read the pages online.
Once my character was out, I just left. I just quit reading it.
Well, Woody Allen, when he makes a movie, he'll only give you the pages that you're on.
Hmm. Really?
No context.
What's that?
No context.
Well, his rationale has always been like, well, the character doesn't know what's going on in the rest of the movie.
Interesting.
Makes sense.
I guess.
Yeah. You argue with Woody Allen.
I'm not gonna.
Yeah.
I just start feeling bad about myself at that point.
See how well that worked for Dylan or whatever his name was.
Who?
What was his son's name?
Matt. Oh. Oh, the one that is not his son? The one that looks just like Frank Sinatra?
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
I mean, we can't really talk anything. I mean, his adopted daughter. That's
Sun Yi.
Yeah. That's whatever.
Anyway.
So Baby Driver.
Yeah. Baby Driver.
So Kevin Spacey, you think he's kind of a good guy?
Yeah, like he's, I mean, he's a bad guy with a moral compass.
I don't know if I ever got that.
In this scene right here where he's just like,
I took him as being like, he's a bad guy that has his own code of ethics. He's going to break the law. He's not opposed to killing people. But there are definitely rules in his world that he will follow.
Right.
And he will expect other people to follow.
And he was
pretty protective
of Baby because anytime somebody would try to give him gruff, he's like, hey.
Until this scene where he's just, I will kill you. I'll kill everyone you love. And he's just like, and your girlfriend in there, she's really pretty. Let's keep it that way.
And I feel like, maybe that's more just like pragmatic, where he's like, I know Baby is the best driver available.
That's how
to me
I took
here.
It. Not that he wouldn't do it, but that it's not because
I know it works on this kid to get him motivated to do the job.
Yeah, that he wouldn't do it, but he wasn't a sociopath as much as he was just like, this is a means to an end. I want this kid driving for me,
right?
And if he's not going to drive for me, then I'm gonna destroy him,
right?
And he won't drive for anybody, and he'll feel pain, you know. And so if you don't want that to happen, you're gonna keep driving for me.
Right, I guess that's
so. We're good, right?
Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, we're good. I did like so he's flipping around on the TV and he sees Monsters, Inc. And I did like that was a cute little thing where he's just like, no, we're friends, we're partners, like we got this. And then he says it again later and he was like, no more Monsters, Inc.
Yeah, like, I know what you're doing.
Yeah, that's when there's a scene where he goes into he lays out the new plan. And there's money order in tier. I just need to know how many tellers, how many customers, where the cameras are, the guards, if they're armed, and take Sam with you.
His nephew, who looks to be about 10, maybe.
Sure,
right.
Yeah. Right. And I thought that kid was great.
That was a really good scene.
Yeah. So he walks in, he figures it all out.
And the kid's like, there's this many tellers, he knows it.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Babies doesn't want anything to do with it. And he was just like, oh, is this, it goes to the teller. And she's like, is this your son? And he was just, yeah. What's his name? What's your name? And he's just like, Sam. I was like, okay. So he goes back out. He gives him the information. And now we get the entire time, though, he is alluding that he's not doing this job at all. It's not going
to
happen.
Yeah, he's trying to make the plan to get out of there.
So he's got Lily James ready to go. She's ready to leave with him. And I do like that they kind of keep... They do kind of like what they do with Spider-Man, where he has to make decisions that are going to affect his personal life.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have a choice.
Right.
To keep her safe, he's got to be a dick. So we go and we see the new team. I guess we should say that Asian guy lost his shotgun at one point. So they have to kill him, and Baby's just like, I don't want anything.
Oh, that was kind of nice because there was like it was a nice.
You really hate Asian people.
It was a nice trope because Kevin Spacey was like, I'm not gonna let you debate whether or not he's in this trunk. Come over here and look in this trunk,
right?
And
right
there he is.
Saw his hand.
Yeah,
like his
no,
hand was,
he was
no, his hand was sticking out
a little bit. Yeah. Yeah, but then he opened it up and there he was.
Yeah, and was like, well, there he is.
Yeah,
like you.
And didn't
he
task Baby with getting rid of the car?
He's
right?
Gotta go, he's like, you gotta 86 that car.
Yeah,
and he was just like, okay. Hopefully, I don't get caught with a body in the trunk. I have a story about that.
Huh?
Yeah. Okay. So I'm trying to think if I got enough time to tell it. So there was a suicide in my family.
Oh,
it's fine.
It's off to a good start. It's a story.
It wasn't.
It wasn't you.
It wasn't me. But it was like
spoiler
further down the line of family.
Right.
Right.
Oh, in the future. Oh my god.
Back to the future.
What, do you become assholes or something?
I mean, it's too late. So there was a car involved,
or too soon,
and there it needed to be taken care, like washed. So my dad and I were tasked with washing this car. So we have
how old were you?
Because I'm 22.
Okay, I'm picturing like 12-year-old.
No, I'm 22 or 23. So the rifle case that held the weapon was in the back of the car, and my dad and I are driving down this street, and I look at him and I was like, "Do you have your badge on you?" And he was like, "No." He goes, "Do you?" And I'm like, no, we better not get pulled over because we've got a rifle case that has skull and brain matter on it. And there's stuff on the side of this car that has already been washed once, but we need to wash it again.
Right.
Like, if we get pulled over, there's no way we are explaining our way out of this.
It's like Pulp Fiction.
It is just like Pulp Fiction, to the point where, like, I lifted up a dumpster. Like dumpster lid, and I was like, get rid of that, never want to see that again. Let's
that's a
cleaning
biohazard. That's
I don't care. I'm not going to jail, I'll tell you that much right now. That's a true story. That's a real
isn't
thing
that illegal, like a legally
there's nothing in the
disposing
case
disposing of human remains.
I would die.
It does. I mean, I wasn't a body.
Well, yeah, but still, I mean,
I don't know. I mean, if you clean up a crime scene, they don't bury the blood and
right,
stuff.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Just wash it off.
Sunshine clean.
I mean, it wasn't like we were, it had already been determined.
Get to see Amy Adams naked in that one.
That's true.
Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't remember that at all.
She gets him out. How do you not remember that?
Must have been a nap movie.
She does it pretty early in, though. She's been awake, so.
Sometimes. I don't know.
Yeah. It was a daytime screening, though, so
it was a daytime screening.
Yeah. It's weird. Like, it's easier to fall asleep in daytime screenings. I don't know why that is.
You can't, at the Esquire, I can't lean that chair all the way back.
Yeah.
I'm like, out. Oh, no.
Yeah.
But yeah, like,
speaking of snoring,
deemed a suicide,
let's get back to this movie.
So whatever.
I like the movie, but I don't know that I'm liking our discussion of the movie. That's
I think the longer our discussion goes on, the less I like the movie.
I know. I'm talking myself into not liking this movie. Yeah.
So yeah, so like, it's Jamie Foxx now and John Hamm and his wife.
Darling.
Darling. Or is it Monica?
Yes, hon.
At some point, yes. It's revealed that it's Monica.
It's Monica.
Yeah.
Geller. So, and so they realize that this. They get everything ready to go, and then they go to buy guns from these arms dealers who turn out...
It's a nice reference to Smokey and the Bandit.
I kind of forgotten about the scene, actually.
Yeah, you're right.
Because Paul Williams pops up.
Yes, he does, doesn't he?
Does he does up. Yeah, Paul up. He does pop up.
He pulls up.
He's Lil Enos.
Yeah.
I was bummed when they killed him.
Quickly.
I was like, oh, Paul Williams, right on.
So, like, this is the scene where I was like, oh, this is going to be Simon Pegg.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Sure. You know, okay. Like, this is where
it's
I thought
like
he'd
Simon
show up.
Pegg's uncle.
Kind
yeah.
of.
Yeah.
In
the looks department.
Yeah, especially because he's, like, lost a lot of weight. And so he looks
a little svelter, I guess.
Yeah. Most successful songwriters of the 20th century.
It would have been interesting if this scene. Was the entire movie of Free Fire.
What's that?
That was the Ben Wheatley movie that came out a couple of, like, a month ago with, Armie Hammer, Brie Larson.
Okay.
Noah Taylor.
I didn't see it.
No.
So, Paul Williams songs.
Yeah.
So he has written We've Only Just Begun.
Ooh. Yeah.
He wrote Just an Old Fashioned Love Song.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
He wrote
it was passioned out in three part harmony.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. You and Me Against the World. He wrote the theme to The Love Boat.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah. He wrote
and new.
He wrote, I believe he wrote, did he write Evergreen? I think
you're looking at me like I know.
He wrote all the songs for the Muppet movie. He wrote every song in that movie.
Okay.
He wrote every song in Muppet Christmas Carol.
Whoa, really?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh man, I did not know that.
Yeah,
and that's one of my like top Christmas movies.
Yeah,
Muppet
that's
Christmas
a good one.
Carol.
Yeah, he wrote
the extra scenes on it. There's like, isn't there like,
no,
there's
a song
you're,
that they
you're
cut?
You're thinking I'm like Muppet Christmas Carol. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, there's a song.
So
they
there's
cut.
Muppet Christmas Carol, but then I think you're thinking about Muppet Christmas.
No, there's they cut a song out that's on like the flip side of the DVD.
Yeah.
On the Muppet Christmas Carol.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But there's also a Muppet Christmas special.
Yes, sure. Where they go to Fozzie's
grandma's
house
or whatever.
Yeah.
And that like originally aired as like a 50-minute, 60-minute thing, but then they didn't have rights to a couple of the songs, so it's
really?
The DVD release is like 40 minutes.
And there's also a version of Otter's Jug Band Christmas or whatever.
That's right.
Where originally Kermit narrates it.
All of the...
Yeah.
That's the director's cut.
Yeah, you're thinking of the Miramax cut.
Yes.
But Kermit does bookends and narrates it, and they had to remove him from that because when Disney bought the Muppets, they did not buy the rights to Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas.
Really?
Yeah.
That's weird.
But so he wrote Out in the Country.
So like the same frustrations that the MCU is experiencing
yeah,
now.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The Muppet universe has their own headaches.
They do. They do.
It's frustrating.
Yeah. He wrote, he did write Evergreen. He wrote Rainy Days and Mondays.
Ooh, they got Karen down.
What's that?
They got Karen
down. They did. And they, well, then he wrote, I think, all the stuff on that Daft Punk album that came out that won a Grammy a couple years ago. Mm. Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. They liked him.
With
and they
Nile Rodgers, too. Wasn't he?
I think so, yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, he's a.
That's a dude. That's legit.
He's a big time songwriter.
He gets shot in the face in this movie.
We played a doc at Sliff about him a couple of years ago, but I didn't see it and don't remember the name.
Excellent. Great work, Brian.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's on Netflix, or at least it was. It's an interesting documentary, yeah.
Way to promote it.
So, Baby Driver.
Yeah. So, yeah, they have to go buy these weapons, and then this is another scene where Jamie Foxx is just, he's batshit crazy. There's no other way to describe it.
Jamie Foxx ends up being really, like, the right guy in the wrong place at the wrong time. I mean, Kevin Spacey's cops, regardless of whether or not they were dirty.
So we find out that, like,
Foxx thinks that they're just cops.
Yeah, they're going to screw him over.
And Kevin Spacey's like, no, they were my cops.
Right. Yeah.
There was nothing to worry about there.
Because Kevin Spacey kind of, like, John Hamm's just like, what are you doing? He's like, the guy in the white suit busted me, like, 2 years ago. Surprised he didn't recognize
me. And the guy who first talked to him.
Oh, is that what it is?
And there was markings on the crates that said it was Atlanta PD.
Right.
And I liked how this played out, though, that Jamie Foxx was right. They were cops.
They were.
But they were bad cops. Yeah, and they were there to do a business transaction.
Oh, this is the movie Bad Cops that I heard so much about?
Yes, it is. Oh. Yeah.
I was interested, but never got around to it.
No, we might be cops.
We might be bad cops.
We might be bad cops.
No, isn't there a movie called Bad Cops?
Oh, I don't think so. I think it's Bad Cops.
You're thinking of Bad Lieutenant.
That's also a movie. That's true.
Port of New Orleans.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Are we almost at the end of this movie?
We're
getting there.
Yeah, we're both. Yeah.
So let's be cops.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you said
with the guys.
Let's pretend to be cops.
Jake Johnson and Harvey Keitel.
right. And Harvey Keitel's penis.
Yes. Well,
it's a package deal.
Right.
I see what you did there.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, all hell breaks loose. They get out of there. Kevin Spacey's like, this thing is off. Like, we're not doing this. And then they give a background of John Hamm.
Yeah. And well, you get the scene in the diner.
Right.
Where Jamie Foxx's character wants to go to the diner that just they're driving by and he's like, I want to eat there. And baby's
just like, no,
that place is awful.
Right.
And
it's terrible.
And Jamie Foxx is like, you never say no, so we're going there. There's
and
a reason. Yeah.
They get the whole scene where Jamie Foxx is going to rob the joint.
Yeah.
And baby kind of grabs the gun. And you get an idea that this kid knows how to fight.
That was pretty intense.
Yeah, that was a good scene.
When he grabbed the gun.
I like that scene a lot. But, like, they never show that he knows how to fight because there's a scene where he literally jumps over a car at one point. So I'm just like, well, I guess he knows.
That's just parkour.
Yeah, right.
Parkour.
Not a parked car.
No.
No, it's moving.
That'd be boring. He would just sit there and play with the wipers. Who wants to watch a movie about that? It's so, baby wipers.
You don't know how, like, that hits close to home, right? Yeah. I mean, I spent a lot of money on baby wipes in the past 6 months.
Because I have a baby.
The anal fissure. Oh.
He just likes to be clean down there. Yeah, we don't have bidets in America.
No, those are expensive.
That's right.
So, yeah. So they say that's it. We're not doing it. We kind of get a background as to who John Hamm's character was, where he was like
a former stockbroker.
So he's
kind of had some sort of drug problem.
Right.
He
was kind of nailing it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's just like, you got a guy, right? And he's like, I got a guy.
Yeah.
So they all kind of agree to do it. And baby had left Deborah a note that says, be ready, be here at 2 a.m.
Right.
And then, so we know that.
So they go back and they're all going to sleep, not together, but
in the same
vicinity. So
correct.
They get up. So he likes to know where everybody's at.
Right.
And so he tries to sneak out.
Baby's getting ready to leave. And the entire time, John Hamm has kind of been the voice of reason.
He's been a nice guy.
Yeah. So he's listening to his music. He's like, you got to have one good song. It's a song by Queen. Again, a little throwback to Shaun of the Dead. And he realizes, so baby's getting out and John Hamm's right there at the car. He was just like, where are you going?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I'm just making sure everything's on the up and up. And then here comes Jamie Foxx, and he gets in the car, and they bust. You know, he kind of is like, well, we're going somewhere, and they hit him in the face, and they knock him out. By the time he comes to, you realize, Jamie Foxx finds the recorder.
The tape that he's realized he's been recording him, and he's like, and baby's like, oh, well, I make these mixtapes, and they're
like, let's go get it.
He's like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
He's like, that's so dumb it might be true, right. But you need to prove it.
Right.
So they take him,
they beat him up.
Yeah.
And then they go, and they steal, they come back, and as Baby's Coming Too, there's Kevin Spacey who's in his face, and it's just like, now Kevin Spacey's also ramped up the villainness a little bit,
right?
Because he realizes all of his conversations have been taped,
yeah, or chunks of them, and he doesn't know which chunks,
right?
Yeah.
So I mean, he's got like this old school kids before there were, oh, well, it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
like, there were CD wallets, but I was like, you don't even know what a CD wallet is.
It's not worth it.
But he has like this big old box full of tapes, and they all have words written on them, and he plays one of them, and it is like he's not saying anything inflammatory,
right?
It's just like the kid's or incriminating. Slow,
or, it's really yeah, just about everything, like compliments about Baby,
or that like he or yeah, basically. So
then they do the job.
The movie ends.
Yeah right. They do the, that's right. They do
Thanks
the job
for tuning in,
and the job goes south. Like so, the teller that he sees earlier is walking towards him, and he kind of just gives her a shake.
Right. Yeah,
he's like, don't go into the bank.
Yeah.
So
then she goes and gets a guard.
Right. And then they all come running out. They shoot the guard, and Baby's just sitting there. He's like, I don't want nothing to do with this. And they keep showing you what is in front of Baby. And I didn't, I was just like, well, it's just a weird shot. It's not that big a deal.
Like a work truck.
Yeah, with your rebar sticking out the back. And then out of nowhere, he guns it and gores Jamie Foxx.
Yeah.
And like, and so Edgar Wright has always kind of had a good way to do violence.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, Shaun of the Dead's got some violence. Hot Fuzz has a lot of violence. And I was shocked when they killed Jamie Foxx. I was like, oh.
And it was so like,
right.
Boom, bam. He's dead. Like, there was no buildup. It just happened.
Right. Yeah. And then, so they get out of the car and they're running, and John Hamm's all pissed off because now the job has gone completely haywire.
Right.
They get into a shootout with the cops where.
Trying to find a different car, like going.
Right. So they split off from each other. So then they end up crashing into each other again. They're just like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
So,
which I think that's actually what he says, right?
I think so. Like,
yeah, he does.
Like, come on. So there's a shootout with the police officers, and the wife gets killed. So now John Hamm has just gone.
Now he's gone full on psycho.
Full on psycho.
Yeah. Baby goes back to the diner.
Right.
And
Baby
then,
goes back.
Yeah. And then John Hamm's waiting there. For
that's
him.
That's right. Yeah. He's saying he's sorry.
Yeah.
And then he's just kind of like, your friend's here. And the camera pans over, and there's John Hamm busted up and bleeding.
That was a pretty good surprise.
It was.
Yeah. I wasn't expecting that at all. Because you keep thinking he's dead.
Yeah.
And he keeps showing back up.
Right.
Like, they kind of say that, you know, it's kind of, yeah. So
this is when he takes the earbuds out of him and he fires the gun. Like next to his head.
No, not quite.
No,
there's still the diner that I think he does
that's
that
at
the garage.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Like this is where the cops show up.
The cops show up
to use the bathroom.
Correct.
Yeah.
And then
John Hamm kills.
He shoots it. Well, he gets shot. John Hamm gets shot first.
Yeah.
And then the cop's there, and he shoots the cop. But this time, Baby and Deborah have taken off.
Right.
They get back to the garage. There, he calls Kevin Spacey, and he's just like, look, I need help. He's like, I don't know who you are. Click. And he's just like, man, now he's got nobody. So he goes back to Kevin Spacey, and he's just like, man, I don't know what you did, kid, but you're on your own. Like, I can't help you here. I, you know. But then he kind of has he gives him another line from Monsters, Inc.
Yeah.
Was like,
the girl walks out.
Yeah, Deborah
walks out.
He's like,
he kind of has a moment of humanity where he's like,
I was in love too.
Okay, I'll help you.
So he gives him the money. He was like, this will give you. He's like, I hope you like driving, because you're going to be driving for the next 25 years. Like, you're going to be looking over your shoulder the whole time. They get down to the garage, and he's like, I just need one tape. So he takes the one tape that says mom on it.
Yeah, it's his mom singing, because she was not
a singer. Like,
she was like,
kind of
trying.
Like,
she was like in a band trying to make it.
Yeah. So he gets in the car, and they're leaving, and then all of a sudden there are three guys from the arms deal, and he's just like, bananas, which I guess is the code word that he... When a deal goes down, whoever did the deal would call Kevin Spacey and say bananas.
So they knew that it had happened. Everything was okay.
Right.
Yeah.
So they kill all these guys. Like, you know, Kevin Spacey goes full on crazy as well and just destroys everybody. And then he gets shot unceremoniously.
Yeah.
Like, at the very end. So now here's John Hamm is back. And this is the scene where Baby jumps over a car, basically.
Yeah.
A big old car chase. And I like this car. Like, I like car chases in like garages like this, because they're really hard to do.
Right.
And I just like the way they look. Yeah, big fight. John Hamm looks like he's got the upper hand. His car has gone off the edge, but he's, again, we think he's dead, but there he is again.
Right.
And then I think, do they shoot him? And he falls off into the car.
I forget what happens. Like, somehow he gets,
he's on the very edge of this thing.
He finally does the thing where he shoots Baby.
He shoots him in the leg or something.
By the ears.
Like, he pushes the car off the ledge.
To take away
And then John Hamm's character, he gets out of the car before it falls off.
Right.
And then that's when he fires the gun next to his ears.
Bam, bam.
Right.
And then
he's gonna kill Deborah,
right,
basically. And then I guess
And then Deborah attacks him.
Right.
That was a good use of a fake crowbar.
Yeah.
That was when she had whacked him with it. I was like, oh, that's a nice little bend.
Yeah, that's good noise.
Foam crowbar right there.
Yeah.
And then Baby shoots him in the leg, and then he falls off
into the car and explodes in the car.
Yeah.
So Baby and wakes up and he's driving with...
She's driving. Right.
Listening to his mom on the radio. Sing on Lionel Richie. And then all of a sudden, they're crossing this bridge and they're...
Barricade.
Right. Like, back up, right. And he kind of stops it, and he's just like, look, this life isn't for you.
Yeah.
Like, I'll go do my thing. He gets arrested, goes to jail.
You see the trial. I like when you see the trial scene. And
I appreciate he got arrested.
Yeah. And he goes.
Wait, you said you wish he got arrested?
I appreciate.
Oh, you appreciate. Yeah.
He got arrested. In the trial, you see all these people that while he was committing crimes, he had done
like
nice things
nice
for.
He was. Yeah.
Like the lady.
He gave
like,
the purse back.
He has to carjack this lady's car, but he gives her the purse back. There's another one where there was like a baby in the car, and he gives the baby, you know, like.
Oh, right.
And,
yeah.
And
right.
So,
right,
like,
right.
He gets a reduced sentence.
He gives him 25 years.
Yeah.
With the possibility of
parole in
five.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Lily James is waiting for him the whole time.
It's a little vague as to whether or not that really happened.
Oh, no. I think it does happen because it turns
with
like,
the black and white.
The dream is in black and white.
But it's kind of a dream.
And then it becomes
even
color.
When it goes to color, it's a different type of color.
Saturated.
Than the rest of the movie had.
Because his ears hurt.
What? Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
When your ears hurt, it affects
his ears.
Color.
Your vision, yeah. What's that?
They fix his ears.
Did they?
Yeah, because there's a scene where he's
think
in
you can fix tinnitus.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, there's a scene where like, the doctor's
the only thing Tony Randall would have had it fixed.
The doctor
was
like,
good point, yeah.
Just shaking his head.
He used all that
case of tinnitus
money.
I've ever seen.
Yeah, can't fix it for nothing, kid.
He'd use all that Love Sydney money.
was there a lot of Love Sydney money?
I don't know. Oh, probably right. Not. Right. But enough to fix tinnitus one way if you could. So, but yeah, I was a little vague as to whether or not that really happened or if that was still kind of dreamy sequence.
It was definitely over. The color was more saturated than the rest of the movie for sure.
Yeah, like because it still looked different.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And that's how it ends.
Like, that's how it ends.
Yeah, so...
They drive off into the sunset.
They drive. Yeah. They fly away in the
like Grease
in the fantastic car.
The fantastic car.
So yeah, I liked it. I didn't love it.
I enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. Yeah. I think the action sequences were good. I wasn't a big fan of the kid. I
liked him fine. I don't think he was a problem. I just think
serviceable.
That, like, I felt like they got a little lazy in spots where they'd set the bar for a certain type of style and they just didn't maintain it.
There
right?
was I think some of those scenes with them in the diner could have been cut.
Yeah,
like
sure.
that's where it drug for me.
Yeah, but I guess you also want to establish how much they're in love. They want
that's
you to like root for them as a couple. You need those moments. So
I think more than anything too, like the when the Brinks job goes bad and there's that like rent a cop or. Yeah. Or ex-military guy who's
yeah that was weird
like trying to be a white hat and
yeah
and
I thought
stop
that was
or whatever.
I thought that was a setup
when I think of stuff like that it's kind of when I think of those scenes like there's it's just an action scene but not without but lacks any sort of like distinct style to it and I think that's what's ultimately the most criminal thing is because it's Edgar Wright and you expect you know a pretty fantastic amount of style.
That was a weird scene. I did think that guy was a setup because like he'd been sitting there and then all of a sudden he had a machine gun in his car.
Yeah, right.
And I was just like, so I was thinking that Kevin
Spacey, the trucker guy.
I think he was a plain clothes.
He was a former military.
I just thought he was like an NRA gun toting. Like right. I'm gonna be a hero.
The car had a Hillary bumper sticker. He was just like, not today.
Yeah, would have had a Hillary bumper sticker.
I think it would have had a Trump bumper sticker.
No, the car that that baby was in.
He boosted a Hillary car, and now he's like,
this guy.
Not today.
No, I think he was.
Here's my chance.
He was just like a plain clothes support system. For the Brinks. That's kind of why I
went with it. Pickup truck. That just seems odd to, I just think he was wanted to be a hero. That's how I took it. But
there it is.
So that's Baby Driver.
That's Baby Driver.
Yeah, I guess let's go around the table and everybody can say where to find them.
This is Brian. You can find me on Twitter at Lord Spaffington.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Don't forget, if you want to continue the conversation online, find us, won't you, at facebook.com/Real Spoilers or on Twitter at Real Spoilers. Don't forget, we're available on iTunes. Go there, rate, review, subscribe, and we will show up like magic every week in your iPod or other podcast delivery device
thing.
Yeah.
Pneumatic tube.
Sure, that too. What'd you call me? So that's it for this episode. Coming up on the next episode, we will tackle Spider-Man.
Oh yeah,
how about that? Spider-Man Homecoming. Brian, would you like to come back and talk about Spider-Man?
I would love to.
That sounds great. So Brian will return. We'll be featured on the next episode talking about Spider-Man. We might even get Dan in on the whole thing.
We'll see if he decides to show up.
If he does, you never know. Kevin will still be out. So
whatever.
So there's a selling point.
Fulfilling my plot to overtake Kevin. Remember, real spoilers.
So that's it for this episode. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, Charlotte approves of marrying Frog.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.